The next speaker is Mr. Friedland.
I'm delighted to follow after Mr. Ruleff's advance publicity for a book on which I am working. The topic that I'm going to talk on today is properly to be labeled schizophrenia. The schizophrenia which afflicts economists in general and liberals in particular when the word gold comes into a sentence. A schizophrenia which sees to it that a proposition which every liberal would take one attitude towards when it concerns something other than gold, he immediately, or many, are immediately inclined to take a very different attitude when the word gold is substituted. Let me take some examples. Suppose with respect to another commodity, in deference both to our chairman and to the products of Italy, let me choose wine. Suppose with respect to another commodity, say wine, someone were to say, oh, you know, there is not enough wine to go around. Immediately the liberal would say, well, of course, in one sense that's a triviality. The basic fact of life is scarcity. There's not enough of any good thing to go around. In another sense, he would say, well, what are you talking about? At what price? At some price, there's always enough wine to go around. At a higher price, there will be a deficit. At a lower price, there will be a surplus. Vice versa. At a higher price, there'll be a surplus. At a lower price, a deficit. But now let me change that and put gold in the place. If I say there is not enough gold to go around, I now have learned men all over shaking their heads and saying, yes, that is right. We must undertake measures to increase the output of gold. We must somehow or other see to it that there's more gold. They don't ask at what price. There's always enough gold to go around at some price of gold. 1 ounce of gold would be adequate to support the monetary circulation of the world at a sufficiently high price of gold in terms of other goods. Ah, but then you will say, and let me now do this in terms of wine, too. Suppose you say, well, there really is enough wine to go around, but much of today's wine is inferior. And if we were to eliminate the inferior wines and stick only to the wines of the province of Piedmont or some other superior wine, why, then there wouldn't be enough to go around. That's quite right. There wouldn't be enough to go around at the old price. But under those circumstances, the price would go around, would rise, and there would be enough to go around. Or again, let us suppose people were to say, well, there is enough wine to provide all the liquidity that people want now. But the quantity of wine does not grow sufficiently over time, and consequently we must look forward to a future in which the amount of wine available will be too small. Hence, our government should step in and institute a program of subsidies to the producers of wine, and moreover, an extensive program to try to persuade people in general to drink and use substitutes other than wine. As liberals, we would immediately say, why, that's nonsense, it's inappropriate government intervention. What will happen, if that be the case, is that the price of wine will tend to rise over time, and in consequence, we will say, under those circumstances, there would be more wine produced and less drunk. But if we substitute gold for it, if we say we are faced with a shortage of gold liquidity, then we have books on the problem of how we shall provide substitutes for liquidity in the future, of how we shall have international conferences and international agencies, which will provide somehow some weaker kind of wine for our purpose. Or again, suppose one were to suggest that because wine is so important to the health of the people, it is essential that the government should undertake the task of stamping its quality, certifying to its quality, and distributing the wine under its label. We would think this is an inappropriate extension of government to an area where government has no business. But the corresponding proposition with respect to gold seems to be almost a basic article of orthodoxy. Or again, if one were to say we should have price stability in the field of wine because of its great importance, and hence the government should announce a fixed price for wine, should establish stocks and stores, and stand ready to buy and sell wine at a fixed price, we would again say, why is the storage of wine appropriate for a nationalized industry? Just as I asked in my paper, why is the warehousing of gold appropriate as a nationalized industry? Why should this not be a private enterprise? If I take a final example along these lines, suppose we were to say that it is important to conserve wine for its most important purpose, and private individuals, if they hold wine, are likely to use it for less important purposes, and therefore we shall forbid private individuals to own wine. This would be regarded as clearly a violation. violation of the rights of private property. On the other hand, when a similar measure was taken in the United States in 1934 with respect to gold, while there was some objection, more recently in the post-war period, as I noted in my paper, even such as bankers as Mr. Henry Alexander have came out in favor of extending the prohibition of the ownership of gold, not only to the ownership at home, but also to the ownership abroad. Well, again, if I may turn more directly to the subject of my paper, the example I cited of what I regard as essential schizophrenia that comes out very clearly in the very interesting and provocative analysis by our fellow member, Mr. Courtney, who is here to speak, about the conditions for the reestablishment of gold. He said in his introduction to Reach Triumph of Gold, he gave a list of points. Number six was that the price of gold will have to be raised to at least $70 an ounce. Number seven was that free markets in gold should be established in all important countries, and trading in gold, its export and import, should be absolutely free. Now, suppose I said to you, the trading, import, and export of wine should be absolutely free, but the government should raise its price. Would you think those two statements compatible? You would not. Neither are they compatible for gold. If we follow the logic of Mr. Courtney's point that we should have a free market for gold, we cannot follow the logic, we cannot accept the preceding point that we should double the price of gold. We must take our chance. Which are we for? Are we for a real free market, or are we for a government-controlled market in gold? Now, I, for one, am for a free market. I, for one, believe that we liberals have been led unwittingly to foster purposes that we did not want to foster and that were no part of our objective by reason of our schizophrenia in respect of gold. By reason of our tendency to regard as appropriate for gold activities and measures that we would never have regarded as appropriate for other commodities. In the process, we have been led to foster what I have called a pseudo-gold standard in place of what might be a real gold standard that might be developed in a free market. I, for one, believe that either the extreme of a real gold standard with a real free market in gold or the other extreme of a completely fiduciary standard is better than the compromise that we have been led to try to follow in recent years of a standard in which the government seeks to fix the price of gold and also seeks to fix the price of one national currency in terms of another national currency. In these two respects, governments have engaged in price fixing, and it is an astounding phenomenon that those liberals who have been most opposed to price fixing in every other form have nonetheless tended to not only to support, not only to be willing to accept, but to promote price fixing in these forms. So I cannot hope that we can all of us come to an agreement on all measures, but I would propose to us here that we see if liberals cannot come somewhat closer to agreement by at least accepting the premise that insofar as gold is available, it shall be freely available, and we shall be in favor of a free market for gold, anybody to hold it, anybody to import it, anybody to export it, which means at any price in terms of other commodities. There is no sense in talking of a free market unless the price of the commodity in question is free. And the price that is relevant for gold is the price in terms of national currencies on the one hand and in terms of goods and services on the other. This would mean, of course, in the field of international order and international exchange, a system of thoroughly flexible exchange rates in preference to the kinds of gold exchange standards that we now have.